three words: search, know, and lead. Those are probably the three things and wisdom that I long for in a relationship. And it's, I think it's just so beautiful. And the Lord constantly, just I go back to this passage and the Lord's like, Cassie, I search you. I pursue you, Cassie. I know you. And Cassie, I lead you. Like, look to me for my leading. And like, I am, like, you are my bride. And it's just like, it's just a constant, like, beautiful reminder for me that I have to rest in that beauty.
Welcome to the Study with Friends radio program, an outreach of studywithfriends.org. Study with Friends is a Bible community created to encourage women of all ages in their walk with God through the study of His Word. Each week at this time brings a fresh perspective on God's Word, a spirit-filled half hour of wisdom from each of the women that come around the table.
Welcome to Study with Friends. This is Holly. This week we're exploring a practice called Lectio Divina. It's an old practice used in monasteries to meditate on God's Word. If you can, please download the information on this practice from our website, studywithfriends.org. About halfway through this session, after I read Psalm 139 in entirety, you should hit the pause button. That's your time to meditate on the scripture I read and make your own reflections. After you've done that, you can hit play again and hear how the word spoke to the women around the table. But I strongly encourage you to take your own time with it first. If you're listening on one of our awesome radio partner stations, you'll have a little trouble stopping in the middle, but that's okay. You can go back and do this again when you have some time. You can always find our broadcasts on the website at studywithfriends.org, or you can download the podcast from iTunes under Study with Friends. Let's get started.
If we are assured of the Holy Spirit living in us, and we know that He will speak directly to us with no middleman, then how can we invite that to happen? This week, we're going to explore the practice of Lectio Divina to help us find answers to this question. Lectio Divina is Latin for divine reading, spiritual reading, or holy reading. This practice has been dated as far back as 220 AD and later became one of the foundations for life in monasteries. In her book, Too Deep for Words, Rediscovering Lectio Divina, Thelma Hall explains, despite many centuries of fruitful practice, Lectio Divina gradually fell into disuse except in monastic practice toward the end of the Middle Ages and was relegated to a category not for ordinary people, end quote. Hall goes on to describe the process used in Lectio Divina as spontaneous and uncomplicated. For a practice with such a fancy name, many have found it to be a startlingly simple way to invite God to speak to them on any number of issues. Lectio Divina encourages meditation on specific pieces of scripture to filter out God's personal message in the very moment of the reading. Don't be put off by the word meditation. It's not the legs folded, humming kind of meditation we sometimes picture. In this context, it just means sitting quietly and listening for the voice of God. There are three steps in the process of Lectio Divina. Read, which is Lectio. Listen, meditatio. Respond, oratio, which I'm not going to use those Latin words anymore. So first you want to settle. Spend a few minutes settling down and pray that your heart may be opened and receptive to the gift God knows you need today. Only the breath, the Spirit of God, can bring the word to life. Let your breathing be deep, slow, and steady as you invite the Spirit to speak to you. Second, read. Begin reading at a place you have previously chosen and read on very slowly with an open mind. Don't study the text, just read it slowly, aloud if you find that helpful. It is useful to read the text several times. This is the lectio or reading. When a particular sentence, phrase, or single word lights up or rings a bell or seems striking or inviting, put the Bible down. Resist the temptation to go on and do not start thinking up reasons why the phrase has claimed your attention. Here the reading stops and the meditation begins, the absorption through repetition. So for example, you might be reading the 10th chapter of John's Gospel where Jesus describes himself as the Good Shepherd. As you come to verse 14, these words seem to have a special allure. I know my own and my own know me. This is the verse you now meditate with. Third, listen. Gently repeat the phrase or word again and again within your heart. Let the repetition be gentle and not mechanical. There is no need to conjure up any mental picture to accompany the words or try to make yourself feel any particular emotion as you speak them. Resist the temptation to force particular lessons or meanings from the words. You know what the words mean well enough. The repetition is to allow you to savor them at another level. After some time, you may find that a longer sentence or phrase has shortened itself to a single word. Gradually absorb that word. So peace be with you, as the Father sent me, so I send you, might be distilled into the single word peace. That's John 20:21. In time, you will become aware of an impression the words have made on you, a feeling or attitude. When you have become aware of this, move to the next step, which is respond. Now is the time for oratio, the praying of your response. Express to God in the simplest way possible the impression the words have made on you. You may want to thank God for the gift they convey. Ask the questions they have stirred in you, or put into words the longings or needs they have brought up. Keep it simple. Pray spontaneously. You may want to respond by remaining in silence in the presence of God, appreciating the grace or attitude the words of Scripture have instilled. And then close. After some time, you will not be able to sustain your spontaneous praying or state of awareness. Distractions set in. You may bring the time to a close with thanksgiving or the Lord's Prayer. This process can bring peace, answers, and a fresh understanding of Scripture. I've met with God inside this process many times and have begun using it to get my daily bread in prayer time. As you become familiar with the process, it becomes more effortless to move through it. And by the way, the instructions are going to be on the website. So if you're not someone who normally downloads the worksheets, this is a place where you might want to pull those off the website and make sure that you have it in front of you. And ask yourself if you're ready to hear God in your life. Make some time this week to practice these steps and deepen your listening skills. No matter what your troubles or trials, when you dedicate this kind of time and attention to Scripture, God will absolutely speak to you through His Word. Can one of you read Psalm 46:10? That's this week's memory verse. I like to make sure we read it.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Be still. Right, Leanne?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to do a group workshop. The girls around the table with me are going to do it, and we will do it on the recording. Also, the worksheets for this are on the website. They're going to be on the main page in the main section where the overview paragraph appears, really in the middle of the homepage. So if you have a chance to download the little worksheets, we will begin. And I'm going to read Psalm 139. So first, let's just settle. All of us have our papers and our pens. Let's put all those down and just let God's word wash over you. Another great tool for this, there are a lot of Bibles that you can get. I have one on my smartphone that will read Scripture to me. Mm. So if you're someone who isn't who is more ministered to in that way or more taught to in that way, it's a good way. But some of us can do it by reading as well. So we're going to settle. I like to put both, you can do what feels comfortable for you, but I like to put both of my feet flat on the floor and sort of make my body peaceful and not contorted, but whatever's comfortable. I'm going to read, and I'm going to read slowly, and as, I understand that this will be a personal process, so as you begin to have a response, certainly you can take your worksheets out and write those private thoughts down. And then when you are done with that, just give me a high sign so that I know I'm not interrupting anything. Okay. This is Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, there you are. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay, I'll start. Verse 4. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. And if I were to distill even from that phrase, I would drill down to the word completely. And my response was, thank you, Lord, that you know me completely and love me anyway. I know that my words and the intentions behind them are always completely known by you. Help me, please, Lord, to glorify you with my thoughts and my words. I ask you to bind my tongue in Jesus' name, if it would not be glorifying to you. Because to me, it's sobering that God knows every bit of stinker intention behind my tongue or wrong-mindedness, and especially because I take teaching so seriously as prescribed by James. I'm thankful that he has mercy for my tongue, but I ask that he just help me to bind it, because he knows it so completely. And I even reflected back to the phrase before that, which was, you are familiar with all my ways. Mm-hmm. So all the things that I would do and be and say are just completely known to God, and he loves me anyway, mm-hmm. which was comforting. Even as I was struggling with the worm that I am as a result of that understanding. So that was mine. Mm-hmm. And then I'll also share one more. This was not from today. Back in 2007, Greg and I had to make a decision about whether we would have Sophia's eyes operated on. And it was a really difficult decision because we didn't really know a lot about it and her eyes were crossing. So we knew that she had an issue. To make a decision to put your little four-year-old under anesthesia. At the time we were making the decision, she was actually three. She had the surgery right when she turned four. All I kept thinking of in panic was, what if we make this decision and something awful happens, and then I'll feel to blame. Mm-hmm. And there's this particular type of surgery, there's no guarantees that it will work. And so I really just needed to hear from God clearly. I said, if she should be cross-eyed for the rest of her life, we'll deal with that, you know? Right. If she should get the surgery, we'll deal with that. But I just need to hear from you. I feel absolutely out of my depth in making this decision. Just tell me what to do, God. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that where you're just like, I'll do whatever you say, right. But I need to hear you. Yeah. And I did this because I had already by that time learned that when I'm desperate for a word, I need to just get in God's word and let him minister to me. And even those times when I feel totally panic stricken, I need to calm myself. So this was a practice I had already been accustomed to. It was difficult over that. You know, I'm still in roiling around in my spirit. But I read through this, and I read the next verse, which is, "You hem me in behind and before." I realized you hem her in behind and before. And I just, like a light switch, I had total peace.
Yeah.
Even as I say it now, I get goosebumps because the visual of, I mean, I don't know what I'm not a seamstress, but to me, hemming is folding something up and then sewing it together. Mm. And the fact that God takes my Sophia and folds gently around her and then sews a little stitch to keep her in place was so peace-inducing for me. I just felt like, oh, no matter what happens, she's going to be okay because we know you, it's going to be okay. And it was just like a light switch, and that's big for me because I don't get a light switch like that. When I'm in complete distress, to just have it switched off like that, and so I feel very strongly about both this practice and Psalm 139 because I often say to people, if you can't find an answer in Psalm 139, read it again. Because there's so much in there. God will give you something. Can anyone else share?
Well, sure. I will do that because that's my verse. Really, the first five verses of this psalm. I could have picked any of them, but I actually did this practice yesterday. I'm going through a transition time in my life and just kind of wanting to please God and be a blessing and not always knowing which way to do that and how to do that. And I had an interview yesterday. So yesterday morning I woke up early and I like did a little bit of homework and did this practice, started to read the first time and just wept like at the first verse. And I was like, what is that? You know? But when I slowed down and reread it, it really was verse five. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. And it just, that piece when you were talking about what that verse did for you is really just what happened yesterday morning for me. Just, it's okay. For me, it was kind of the protection of being hemmed in, but more so kind of, he's set up some boundaries for me. He's behind me and he's before me. In my humanness, I'm not going to go beyond where I've been hemmed in. And I just needed that. I needed that confirmation. I needed to just trust the plan that he does have for me, that I know he has for me. And just, it was just a great confirmation. I got goosebumps again. And,
I just do too.
I know, sorry. And just that I am safe and, you know, that I am in the lane that he's got for me. And I just have to keep going forward and I'm not going to bump off the road.
That's ironic. I find it that all three of us have chosen that because that's my second word is hemmed also. Just about God's care. I'm kind of, like you mentioned, transition and you mentioned boundaries. Wherever that might be that you are cared for. And that's some of the words that I chose under, do I notice God's care under the hem? Do I give him credit to see how and what he weaves in my life, thinking of the hemming? And then the other word that I chose was searched. It leads me to thinking of, what does God see? You know, in the closets and corners and cupboards of my life, do I welcome his presence to all places? Where might I be hesitant to have his spotlight look while I embrace it that he's hemmed me in? Because I think a lot of my hesitancy sometimes is fear of the unknown. So the concept of him searching while hemming takes away that fear, because it's sometimes hard to, it's peaceful for me to separate out the way God sees me and responds to what he sees from people.
Right.
Because he still absolutely cares for us in that, whereas sometimes people in all our stuff don't know what to do with us. So but once God I does. Separate them in my mind, then I can be more welcome to that because I know he's going to do that gently and thoroughly. And I'm also in the stage of moving right now, so I'm kind of thinking of that searching, those things you can hide in the cupboards and pack away neatly and not open for some time.
And forget about.
And you kind of don't want to open it up again.
Yeah.
So that's good. Cassie, are you okay with sharing?
This Psalms 139 has kind of been like my prayer out to God for many years. Basically, verses 1 and 24, three words, search, know, and lead. Those are, as a single, those are the three biggest longings I have in a future spouse. And just being a daughter of two parents who absolutely have a beautiful marriage, they have portrayed how they continually search out each other. They know each other, and they also lead each other, and that it's so beautiful to me. And I always, those are probably the three things and wisdom that I long for in a relationship. And it's, I think it's just so beautiful. And the Lord constantly, just I go back to this passage, and the Lord's like, Cassie, I search you. I pursue you, Cassie. I know you. And Cassie, I lead you. Like, look to me for my leading, and like, I am, like, you are my bride. And it's just like, it's just a constant, like, beautiful reminder for me that I have to rest in that beauty.
Oh my gosh, that's so good.
Oh my gosh, Cassie.
That's sorry, really I can weep over it.
I know, I got a little wet in the eye. Okay. So, should we do another passage, or do you guys want to just marinate in that? It's up to you.
Marinate.
Yeah.
Okay, let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for the personal way that you love us. And I will never get used to how individual and personalized and specialized your word can be if we just give it the space to do that. If we just meet with you in a quiet, still place, if we can just learn to turn our brains down, turn the noise of the world down, and focus on you. You are always amazing. And so as we close today, I ask you, Lord, specifically for that, as we are women who have lots and lots on our plate, things to do, people to take care of, errands to run, help us discern the important from the urgent. Help us to discern how important it is for us to sit with you and let you lead us and guide us. And help us to remember, just as we've experienced today, that you will be faithful to doing that. That you don't move. You're always here. You're always available to us through your Son and the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Praise you, Lord, for that. And help us to yearn for that, to long for that, and to find a way to make it happen no matter how busy we become. Because when we run out in front of you, Lord, we invariably mess it up. Help us to stay behind and be hemmed in, behind and before, so that we can be completely abiding in your love and in your ways and have the abundant life that you intend for us here on earth. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad you were with us today. I get really excited about this practice of Lectio Divina. I found it to be an amazing way to really hear from God on my personal and very specific everyday stuff. You'll find some worksheets on our homepage that you can use to practice this style of reading God's Word. Please consider making it a habit. As much as I love Bible study, and you know I do, hearing from God in a simple, personal way completely outweighs the theological and cultural and contextual understanding that my head wants to get because I love to learn. Sometimes I forget to hear him with my heart. This practice brings me back to that again and again. I hope you learn to love it as much as I do. See you next week.
You have been listening to Study with Friends. We hope you've been blessed by today's program. Tell us your thoughts by visiting our website, studywithfriends.org. And while you're there, you can join our group at home, download some homework, memory verses, and sometimes we have bonus audio material teaching more on each week's topic. You can also learn more about the women around the table today. You will find a picture and a bio for each of them, and you can interact with the whole community by adding to the comments section on our homepage. That's studywithfriends.org. Just do what you can when you can. God will always meet you where you are. While we all love your participation in this community, we also strongly believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Thanks for being with us. See you back here next time on Study with Friends.